come before your word this morning, and I just ask that you'd help us to have open hearts and open ears to hear what you have to say to us. Many of us are proud, and we can think this message is for somebody else. But Lord, may each one of us come before you this morning and just listen and hear what you have to say through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week I read quite an amazing story, actually. Maybe you're somewhat aware of it, and Del sort of already referenced it this morning, but there was actually a massive underwater volcanic eruption which has caused a tsunami to crash into the islands of Tonga. And a really amazing story has actually emerged from this, and I don't know if anybody else has heard this. But there was an elderly Tongan man who has a disability as well, and he was working on his house when the tsunami hit. And he was actually caught by the waves and washed out to sea. I've drowned before, and that's terrifying. And when he was washed out, he was also brought out with his niece and his son, so it's got that added level of fear. And all this happened at about 7 o'clock at night, so it's completely pitch black. He's in the wake of a tsunami, and he sort of loses his niece and his son from calling out to them. And this story is amazing because after he lost his niece and his nephew, he actually stayed afloat in the dark in the wake of a tsunami for more than 24 hours, an elderly disabled man who has difficulty walking. And he swam and kept afloat for nearly 8 to 13 kilometres, where he sort of washed up safely ashore on another island. How amazing is that? What an incredible story that this man has. But also, what a terrible ordeal for this man to actually go through. As I said, I've drowned and I don't even like going swimming. I haven't gotten back over that. Imagine being at wash at sea in the wake of a tsunami, waves crashing over you. So this is an extremely miraculous story that this man has, but it's also an incredible story of endurance and perseverance in the wake of an extremely difficult and challenging time of trouble. Now, I'm assuming that, and I'm hoping that, nobody here can actually relate to the feeling of being lost at sea. Good. I'm not seeing any nodding. That's good. However, I'm sure that all of us here, in some way, shape, or form, can actually relate to the feeling of having trouble in our lives. Times of trouble. We all have them. They come in lots of different shapes or forms. These times of trouble that we have, they can be internal, they can be inside of us, and they can also be external as well. So the internal troubles that we have, these can be temptation. We can go through times of temptation, sin. We can struggle with mental issues, mental health, and emotional problems as well, all different sorts. All of us, there's a multitude of inner demons which can actually wreak havoc in our lives and cause us these times of trouble. And there's also things that come from outside of us as well, things that happen to us. We can have conflict in our families. We can have difficulty at work or at school. We can have financial struggles, health complications. We can suffer heartache. We can suffer tragedy. And we can even suffer the loss of a loved one to us. Life, it's unpredictable, isn't it? But trouble just never seems to be too far away. Always seems to be begging at our door. But whether the trouble that we are going through is internal or external, These times of trouble can be extremely challenging for us. The trouble that we can face can actually leave us feeling really devastated, defeated, or even overwhelmed from the things that are happening in our lives. So the question for us to think about is, how can we actually face the troubles that we're going to go through in this life? How are we going to survive these troubles? Well, to answer this question, seeing as we're in a series on the life of David, we're going to look at the life of David and we're going to see how he actually was able to face some of the troubles that he faced in his life. So, as some of you would have heard last week, David is actually, he's got a pretty good resume, better than all of us here probably, when it comes to facing troubles in his life, troubles and hardships. For starters, this is the joke one, this is for laughs, he grew up with 7 brothers. So of course, as you can imagine, that's going to have some trouble that comes with it. But on a serious note, after David defeated Goliath in battle, that's when he actually became the object of Saul's jealousy. This led Saul to commit attempted murder twice. Twice he tried to kill David. And so David goes on the run. He goes into exile. This means that he becomes separated from his wife. He has to live in a cave, sleep on the ground, live in the wilderness. Sometimes his men turn on him because they don't like the decisions that he's made. Through all this time, Saul continues to chase David in the hopes of killing him. And you'd think that after Saul was out of the picture, after Saul was killed, that life would get easier for David. But this is not the case. David had a number, not just one, he had a number of marital problems. He had great moral failings, and he experienced extreme humiliation for his sin and for his wrongdoing. David even experienced the pain, the heartache of burying multiple of his children. Multiple children he had to bury. So as you can see, David was, he was sorely familiar with trouble and facing these times in his life. Which prompts another question. How did David respond to all the trouble that he faced in his life? If I was to give you the full answer to this question, I'd have to re-summarize all of Samuel and a bit of Kings and nearly 70 Psalms, or more than 70 Psalms, and we'd be here all morning, so I'm not going to do that. I've just picked one way, one of the key ways that David actually overcomes the trials that he faces in his life. Now, Ted actually read these verses out before for us, and it actually really captures what I want to be sharing on this morning. But I just want to give everybody a quick reminder of what he shared with us. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So here David paints just a very rich and powerful description of the way that God actually provides for him through his time of troubles, through enemies coming after him. In these situations, he was rescued and he was saved by God, his rock and his refuge. And the language here, it's not boring, is it? It's not just matter of fact. It's actually really beautiful. It paints a wonderful picture of how God actually is for us in these times of troubles. But you can probably see quite a number of different descriptions there. So what I want to actually do for us this morning is just condense those down into the 3 categories of my rock, my refuge, and my deliverer. So those are the 3 different categories that we're going to think about this morning. And as we do this, just keep in mind there is actually some overlap between these categories. It's not like they're 3 separate, completely different things. There's a lot of overlap in these terms here. So the first one that we're going to look at is this declaration by David that the Lord is my rock. What does David mean when he says this? Well, if you read the times that David actually talks about God as his rock through the Psalms, it actually kind of emerges that there's two different ways that David is talking about how God is his rock. The first one, we'll get this out of the way quickly, is actually just as a synonym for a refuge. In the times that he was on the run, he actually escaped into caves and hid in the rocks from the people that were pursuing him. So rock, in that sense, also means refuge, which, because we're limited on time today, we'll actually cover in our second category this morning. But the second way that David actually describes God as his rock is in the sense that he is a source of strength and stability for David when he goes through these times of trouble. Now, what's in view here is actually physical energy and the mental resolve to actually withstand the challenges of life. As we have probably been thinking about this morning, facing trials in life isn't actually easy. It's draining on us emotionally, physically, mentally. And what David is acknowledging here is actually that God provides for these needs that he has in these times that he's going through. God gives David the strength that he needs. And this provision of strength actually enables David to withstand. Like a rock in the ocean that a wave crashes against, the rock remains. He withstands the troubles that he faces. This is what he says in another Psalm, 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. This last bit here is what I want us to focus on now. I shall not be greatly shaken. Later on in the same psalm, David amps it up and he says, I will not be shaken. I shall not be shaken. I shall not be greatly shaken. A bit of room for being shaken there, but I will not be shaken is really amping it up, isn't it? That's the confidence that God gives David in these times of trouble. I shall not be shaken. But something else that we see here is actually that times of trouble can shake us up. On our good days, we think, gee, we're all right. And then something bad happens, and we're like, everything goes to mess. We're awful. We wouldn't want people to see us on those days, would we? My mother-in-law and I were talking about this morning. You can look at people and think, gee, they look good on the outside, but I can guarantee you every single person has got some freight. They've got some skeleton in the closet. And these times of trouble bring out the worst in us. They can shake us up. But the thing that David actually points out for us here is that God can strengthen us and give us the ability to withstand these troubles in our lives. Like a rock that stays firm as a wave crashes against it. I use this word here, strengthen. That doesn't actually mean that God's going to take the problem away, does it? We often pray this Pauline prayer when trouble comes. Take this problem away, God. Isn't that what we often pray? That's generally what we pray when something bad is happening. Take this away from me. But here we see that God doesn't always take away our problems. Sometimes the way that it actually helps us is giving us the strength to move through them, to survive them, to come out on top of them, to be able to persevere. And so this makes me wonder, what troubles have you been through recently? What troubles might you be going through right now? Today, what troubles are you experiencing? And maybe the troubles have hit you hard and you've wondered, like, what is God doing? Is he there? I feel angry with him. Maybe this has happened to you. But I want to pose you this question. Have you considered the fact that God might have no intention of taking that trial away? He might have no intention of taking the problem out of your life. Instead, his plan might actually be to give you the strength to go through it and to come out the other side. I wonder if you've considered that. Because so often, That is the way that God works. So often that's the way that God helps us. And this is because he wants us to grow. He wants us to be mature in our faith. He does this through hardship, through strengthening us through hardship. It's like when you learn to ride a bicycle. At some point, the training wheels come off. And when your parents do this for your kids, they're not doing it so that you fall over and you crash and you hurt yourself. Your parents would never do that to you. They're actually doing it so that you learn to ride your bike and you get better. And God works this way in our lives as well. So, when you face times of trouble, remember this. God is our rock. He can be a source of strength for us when we need it, so that we can sit there and say, I will not be shaken by this problem that I'm going through. We can say that God is our rock. So that's God being our rock. Now, secondly, David also declares that God is his refuge. Now, when David is talking about the fact that God is his refuge, he is actually talking about the fact that he's got somewhere to escape in times of trouble. So it's like a fierce storm comes over. You go under a shelter. You seek refuge. You're escaping. You're coming out of whatever it is that's happening, the storm. And this is kind of what is intended by David when he's talking about how God is his refuge. And some of the Psalms actually reflect David doing this. I obviously can't cover them all this morning, but some of the Psalms, you see that David has actually got some sort of problem going on around him. And instead of just like giving up or, you know, turning in or surrendering himself, he actually goes to God and he asks God for help. He confides in God. This is what it means to seek refuge in God, to actually go to him when we've got problems. Often, you know, we're good at this. We're good at leaving God out of the picture when things are going well. And then when things are going bad, we sometimes we can go to him in those times. But this is what David, the actual example that he has given for us to do, is actually to go to God and confide in him in our times of trouble. And in these different descriptions that we've got, there's some similar language that I've kind of all sort of brought in under this heading as well. And these include shield, stronghold, and fortress. When David uses these terms, they each have a little bit of a nuance to them. But the overall idea that David has in mind here is actually security, protection, safety from the troubles of this world. And this is kind of in two ways. Literally, like God provided for him. He provided safe places for David to escape to. But it's also the security that you feel, that sense that you have that I am going to be okay through this because God is with me. He gave this to David as well. Now, this sort of sense of protection, maybe we don't really relate to it as much. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't been in any battles recently. I haven't felt, gee, I need to be protected from my enemies as such. But the concept of refuge, of going to God as a refuge, is something that I think is actually extremely valuable for us this morning. Today, the troubles that we go through, they're not normally life-threatening, although they can be. But the impact of them, it can be overwhelming on us, can't it, when we go through the troubles that we have. And sometimes in our times of struggle, you just want somebody to talk to. You just want to be able to confide in somebody. Somebody to tell you that it's going to be okay. Someone to encourage you. But often when these times of trouble strike us, there isn't anybody. We're alone. We don't have anybody that we feel like we can talk to about what's going on in our lives. This happens to us, or it can happen to us. Maybe you don't know what this is like. But David was onto something here, wasn't he? He was onto something. Don't you guys know? We have a loving Heavenly Father. Not all of us have good role models in our earthly fathers. Not all of our earthly fathers are people that we feel like we can confide in. But God is not. He is not our earthly father. He is our perfect heavenly father. He loves us. He cares for us. And so when this stuff is happening in our lives, we can go to him and we can confide. I don't think we're good at it because we're like praying that Pauline prayer of, God, take this away. And then we're checking our clocks to see why hasn't the situation gotten better yet. But that's not what it means to confide. The psalm that I read out earlier, on God alone, my soul waits in silence. Sometimes we confide in God and then we have to wait in order for him to actually answer our prayers. But this is what it means for God to be our refuge. He can be our refuge in times of trouble. This is what David highlighted for us this morning. Now, the last category that I've got is where David describes God as his deliverer. Now, this is the funny bit to make sure you're still awake. In case you're wondering, this is not talking about delivering pizzas. That's kind of the only way that we use delivery anymore, isn't it? But what this word means is actually that in the times, the multiple times that David's life was in peril, where he was in danger, God delivered him. He rescued and he saved him from these times of trouble which he was facing. David's life was preserved through all these different things that went on and happened to him. And interestingly, sometimes God actually does this by David's hand. Like when he fights Goliath, God delivers him through David's own hand against this giant. But that's not always how God works. God sometimes delivers David in really miraculous ways. God works in many different ways in our lives. But through whatever means it was, David could see this thing that God is the one who is delivering me from my problem, from my troubles. Now, probably when you guys hear deliverer, you're like, oh yeah. Like, you either think Pizza Hut or you think, well, of course God is a deliverer. Like, we know that. You're not telling us anything new here. Didn't you say that last week? Yeah, sin, death, the devil, we've been delivered from that, of course. But there's an easy thing for us to miss when we assume that we know something really well. We just skip over the fact that actually all of us, every single one of us, was in eternal peril. Eternal peril that we needed somebody to come and save us from. This is how Paul says it to the Ephesians. By nature, he says this to them, by nature you are children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And that's true of us as well. Because of our sin, because of our unrighteousness, we are children of wrath. Without God intervening, we were all headed for judgment, God's judgment, and an eternity of wrath, an irreversible separation from this loving Father. This was the great spiritual danger that we were in. We have to realize this. We were in this situation. This was the danger that our lives were in. But when we see this, the picture of David's life being threatened by enemies and God delivering him, we actually get a symbol of what it's like for us to be delivered by God, for us to be in mortal peril, eternal danger. Like David had a spear thrown at his head. Imagine that, someone throwing a spear at your head at a near miss. He was in a cave and his enemies were literally feet away from him. You can hear the dirt crumbling under their feet. That's how close all of us came to eternal damnation. But God, in his loving kindness, made a way for us to be saved, didn't he? Just as David was on this precipice of death, we were on the brink of this eternal fate. Then God made a way for us to be saved through Jesus Christ. This is the thing that we hear week after week. that we had this sin problem and Jesus saved us from this. But don't let the fact that you hear it every week just wash over you. Here, we have to acknowledge and realize that we were in this eternal peril. We needed to be saved. That was where we were going outside of Jesus. We needed this. We couldn't do it in our own strength. But Jesus came and he saved us. He pulled us back from the brink. By his death and his resurrection, through faith, we can be saved. This is what it says in John 3:16. Everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is true. We were perishing. Then God saved us. He intervened for us. This is the ultimate deliverance which we have experienced. So we can already say we don't need for God to come in and save us from a whole bunch of new problems. He already is our deliverer. He has delivered us in the most ultimate sense, saving us from this awful eternity. And that is a bit of a snapshot of these sort of three categories that we've considered this morning. The rock, the refuge, and the deliverer. And we are nearly through this morning. I could not get rid of a couple of bonus quick points. Bonus round. Tried to make it shorter for Ted's sake, but I just think these couple of points are so important for us to hear this morning. When we face difficulties in life, this is the first one. When we face difficulties in life, they can be overwhelming on us. We can just focus on the problem. We filter out everything else and we focus on the problem that is in front of us. And it snowballs and snowballs and snowballs to the point where we can become overwhelmed by this thing that's in front of us. We never think about the solution. We never think about the problem. All we are thinking, we do think about the problem a lot actually, but we never think about the solution. For us, this problem becomes impossible. If that's you, not everybody, because people have different personalities, but here's a question. If you think your problems are impossible, they can't be fixed. When did our problems become so big and so great that the all-powerful God couldn't actually deal with them? Did I miss something? Has something happened recently where God stopped being all-powerful and stopped being able to help us in any situation? I must have missed something. And this is, you know, the powerful God that David is envisaging. He calls him his rock and his refuge. He's not talking about a weakling here who can't help us. I've stolen these off Ted, but these are verses 6 to 15 of our psalm. Have a listen. In my distress, I called upon the Lord to my God and I cried for help. Here's where it starts to get good. From his temple, he heard my voice and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and a devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and he came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and he flew. And he came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy, his covering around him, thick clouds, dark with water. And out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through this cloud. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and he scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and he routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare before the rebuke of the Lord. At the blast of the breath of your nostrils. Wow! Isn't that powerful? When you hear that, David's not talking figurative, in this figurative sense that God is this big giant man who's sort of floating out in space on a throne and he's going to come down from his space throne and fix everything. He's not talking in a literal sense here of God being a big giant spaceman. The picture that David paints here is of an all-powerful God. His strength and his power easily surpass any power of evil, anything that could happen to us in this life. So really, it does not matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. No matter how big this problem might actually seem, God is bigger than our problems. Nothing is impossible for him. This big, powerful, non-spaceman. He can do everything. Anything. And this brings me to my final little tidbit for this morning. This is what David says in Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, my faithful God. And what I'm talking about here is this first line, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is the great faith that David has. He is prepared, although his life is in God's hands anyway, he is prepared for himself to actually acknowledge and to commit, to put his life in God's hands. This actually helps us to understand faith a little bit more, because faith isn't just saying you believe some historical and doctrinal stuff. It's not just rocking up here on Sunday morning. Faith is actually trusting God as well. You believe in him, that's great. But then you actually trust him with your life. So, folks, whatever troubles you may face in life, whatever it might be, nowhere in my sermon this morning did I say it will be easy for you. I did not say that for a single second. But God can be your rock and your refuge and your deliverer. This big, impossible, powerful God. We just need to put our trust in him. Trust him with our circumstances. Confide in him about our problems, our troubles. We'd be able to write down after the fact. By the way, this psalm is after the fact. After God has already worked and delivered David. He is my rock. He is my refuge. And he is my deliverer. Please pray with me, everybody. Father God, I just feel that in this room, many of us have troubles and trials in life. Maybe some are feeling overwhelmed. Maybe some are feeling helpless and broken. And they just want this trouble to pass, to end. God, I just pray that they might know your compassion and your love this morning. In whatever way you choose, Lord God, I pray that you'd remind them of your great love. Remind them of your concern for them and your care for them. Father, all of us face times of troubles, and that brings out the worst in us. And Lord, sometimes we're not patient when we pray. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would help us to be better at praying, better at understanding what it means to talk to you and to confide in you, to bring our troubles to you. Help us, Lord, to pray, I ask. If anyone is feeling really discouraged, God, this morning, I pray that you would lift their spirits. Lift them high and set them upon the rock. That stability, that strength, God, I pray that you would give them that to them this morning. And Lord, we pray for our valley as well. Because we have a hope. We have the answer to trouble. But COVID and vaccines and whatever else has just brought about so much fear and division, and family and friends have been split apart, and people have lost loved ones and people have struggled with sickness and not having the capacity that they used to. And I just want to pray for our value, Lord God, that somehow this message of strength, of hope, of someone who can carry us through the times of trial and struggle, I pray that that would reach through to the people who are in desperate need, who feel hopeless, who feel like they cannot do it. Please, please do this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to finish our